Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. And now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
I'm getting a job from your mom.
Now, back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Danny Zucker in studio. The book, he started it, My Twitter War with Trump. It's available now at Amazon, and you can bookmark us and click on through. It's always good for us, and the proceeds go to charity, the World Wildlife Fund, and Planned Parenthood as well. Good to see you again, Danny.
It's great to see you, Adam. Thanks for having me on. Hi, Gina.
Hi, it's great to see you.
My pleasure. We'll talk about the book. We'll talk about Modern Family. As I mentioned, we're all huge fans. And to me, Modern Family sort of brought back the sitcom genre. For me, it was kind of gone. It was, we're moving on to a, single cam. And I know you guys are single cam, but I mean like a Gary Shandling or Curb Your Enthusiasm or The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. Or we're just moving away from sitcoms. And they brought me right back, which I guess good writing can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the genius, what was so subversive about the show, and I didn't create it. It was created by Steve Levitan and Chris Lloyd, but it was that it wasn't revolutionary. It wasn't cynical. It wasn't subversive. It was sort of like it was – you know, if you think about the comedies of the 90s and the early 2000s, and I love those and wrote on a lot of them, but it was a lot of people slamming each other. To show a family that really loved each other was weirdly revolutionary at the time. So,
also, it's weird how we're wired as human beings, which is there's this imaginary sort of camera crew on a fourth wall. And people would have their little sit downs. In the reality biz, I think they call them like a,
confessionals?
Yeah, confessional. Like, come over here and tell me what just happened.
Right. Yeah.
And they do it, and you go, well, isn't that going to bump people formatically? And it doesn't. And then also people will flash the camera.
Yeah.
Like they'll go, Phil, look at the camera. Like, uh-oh, what's going on? And you'll think, well, wait a minute. We're not in the confessional anymore. Why are we flashing the camera? Because now this is supposed to be life. And it doesn't bump you either.
Yeah, that was a lot of discussion early on. I remember when we came in, because I didn't do the pilot, but on the first episode, we all kind of came in with ideas. And when I was under the impression that it was going to be a much more present documentary crew there, in terms of like almost like The Office is, where it's a documentary. And I had pitched that there is a cousin who has not signed a release. And so they would be pixelated the entire run of the show. And Steve Levitan had a really smart thing about this because they were debating whether to do it. In an early draft, a documentarian was one of the characters. But they said, we don't like a family that's going to be on a reality show. We don't care. Like a family that's going to make that choice is sort of – it's not – you couldn't tell the same heartwarming stories. And I think he was really smart about that. Yeah.
Well, it's weird in that – I mean, comedy is really this way, maybe more than anything else, which is it either works or it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's weird having – this is my beef with the system, the studio system, is you sit in a room with people and argue about what's going to work and what's not going to work, and nobody has any idea.
No one.
Because every example of every movie you've ever loved would have never worked in that room.
Yes.
And including Modern Family, which is like flashing the camera and doing the confessionals and stuff like that. So let's just write the funniest show we can write and check it out. But please stop telling me you know it's not going to work because nobody knows anything.
Yeah, and getting the best cast, that's all luck. This is the other – I can talk for hours about what I hate about the studio system, but everybody's competing for the same actors at the same time every pilot season. So sometimes a great actor will be up, but they've already committed to a show that's going to be done in three. And so it's just luck. I mean, this had 10 – speaking parts in the pilot. I've done pilots on my own where I had 4 speaking parts and had to recast 3 for them to put it on.
Right.
No one was recast. It was just that cast is amazing. And someone told me this, and I think it's really true, and it's sad as a writer, but like great acting saves mediocre writing all the time. But the opposite is never true. No one cares how well something's written if you hate that person saying it, you know?
Oh, God, yeah. The cast is – I mean, the writing's great, but it's amazingly strong cast.
On that note, not in the industry, but in the general, you know, the wide swath of America, I guess you would say aside of Ed O'Neill, relative unknowns in the cast when they launched. And now to a man, they're almost all, you know, big stars because they're excellent.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. Most of them were not. I mean, Sophia was sort of known all throughout Latin America. Mm-hmm.
I recognize Julie Bowen from the Adam Sandler movie.
Yes, and Ed.
None of these are names.
She's from Ed, too.
Ed, she was great in Ed. But, like, people were not aware of Phil Dunphy, of Ty Burrell, and what a fine. No one knew Eric Stonestreet.
Yeah.
Jesse had done a couple shows. Yeah, I mean, it was relative. It was amazing.
Ty Burrell is so goddamn strong and does so much with the look and the physicality and... It's just what a tour de force.
Oh, it's made us all lazy writers. Because honestly, it's, you know, I don't know, Ty will make this funny. It's like,
but also, I've spent time with a lot of the cast on and off, just parties and things like that. Everyone is so.
Oh, we get it. You're plugged into the A-list.
Yeah.
You make the scene.
Mostly shit Jimmy does, and then I get to go. And then at some point, you go out on the balcony, people are smoking and they're drunk, and they go, oh, it's Ty Burrell, Julie Bowen. But everyone's so insanely friendly.
It's crazy. It's such a good
and a rarity, right?
Oh my God! I've worked on shows like the first several shows of my career were not like writer friendly sets. There was a lot of PTSD that happened.
What do you mean by that?
There was a wall between the writers and the actors, or you had difficult actors who were terrifying and scary and would throw fits and
Helen Hunt, for example.
I'm not going to mention any name. If I were, I'd probably say Brett Butler from Grace Under Fire, but I won't mention any names.
I was about to say like sort of true or false, and I'll try not to be too personal in the wording, but
yeah,
people can be difficult. And, you know, sometimes Jimmy Kimmel can be difficult. It doesn't make him a bad guy or a prick or anything. He just wants things a certain way.
Of course.
And that's the temperament of most actors and actresses and so on.
Creative types.
Yeah. So let's just – we'll just use the word difficult.
We'll use difficult.
Roseanne, difficult. Mm-hmm. A little difficult. But Brett Butler or Brett –
Brett Butler.
Yeah. Who was the – wait a minute.
You're thinking of Rhett Butler.
Yeah. There was a baseball player named Brett Butler.
I'm also thinking of the Dodger.
Center fielder for the Dodgers.
Oh, wow.
Very different person.
Yeah.
Quietly, she was the most difficult?
Yeah. I mean, for me and mine, I mean, I think she was struggling with a lot of stuff, and this is me being generous and all that. But that was a very, very difficult set.
I'm sure.
That was a – I mean, the other actors were fantastic, but she was rage issues. Mm.
I've heard some colossal stories about her. Mm. And it's
I think part of the fact that we don't hear from her for many, many, many years probably is an indicator.
Speaks to that truth.
Yeah, speaks to the stories.
Now, I've heard she got it together, and I wish her...
That may very well be true.
I wish her well if she did. It was not like a pleasant time to be there.
Yeah, well, it also shows that time passes really quickly and fame is fleeting. And
it's good to be
ultimately, what people don't really realize is it's a business kind of based on relationships.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, people spend so much time when you're working on a sitcom in somebody's other people's proximities that you at some point you go, I just want to work with some good dudes or some nice chicks. Like at a certain point,
100%.
You probably remember like Alan Kirshenbaum.
Yes.
You just go, he had a very sad story, but I was doing sitcoms. We're just like, we want to work with Alan Kirshenbaum because I want to ultimately end up sitting in a room with the guy for 13 hours.
That's exactly it.
And you don't want to douche.
You don't. I always say this, like I'll take like a B, like if I'm hiring, I'm going to take a B-minus writer I want to see all the time than an A-plus who makes my skin crawl.
Yes.
Because it's just, my kids will tell you. I mean, my kids are the same age as the Dunphy kids. And I've spent more time with my fake family than my real family over these last couple of years. So, you want everybody there to be nice. Life's too short. Yeah.
Let's talk about the book.
Yeah.
It's actual tweets back and forth with the president.
Yes, yes.
How did it start?
It's like the Civil War letters.
Yes, it is.
My
yes.
dear friend.
Yes. No, what a time.
Dearest Martha.
Son, Mary Chestnut. I was just, you know, I grew up in New York. I'm not like a fan of the man. Probably comes clear in this, but he was, you know, I first heard about him when he was when he and his dad were tossing people out of the tenements in Queens.
Well, but, just the black people.
That's true. To be fair, he's always been super good to the whites.
Or the one super unlucky guy decided to go as Diana Ross. One time, swept up.
It's just Diana Ross. Yeah. But yeah, I probably tweeted some nasty things. Anyway, he was doing the whole, Obama's Kenyan. So I'd tweet things at him, never responded. And it was only till he said, Celebrity Apprentice was the number one show of the night. And I said, oh, well, that's an easily checkable fact. And so I posted it. Cool story. Here's what actually happened. And he just started to go bananas. He responded. Uh-huh. And at that time, he was sort of like his reality show was sort of tanking. And so it was just a fun exercise. It was like, ha ha ha. What's this guy ever going to do?
Friendly rivalry.
Yeah. Well, he's not like, he has his skills, I'm yeah. sure. Words come back. Like, it wasn't like I was like beating, you know, Noel Coward on Twitter.
You're wordsmith.
I am, but you didn't require my level of wordsmithery to beat him.
This is what year?
This is 2013.
Is when it began.
And it went on for months, and it was weird. And I knew it was like, wow, this is a sickness with him, because I would tweet, we'd tweet back and forth a couple times. I would thought I gave the knockout blow. And then I would go out and do things in life other than tweet.
Well, that was your mistake.
I know.
Continue.
And, then, and I'd wake up and or get back, and there were like six tweets. It's like, you've been on this all day. Like, I thought you were this mogul,
a tycoon.
Yeah.
How do you have this time?
I know. And so that was kind of – it was sort of fascinating from that standpoint. And
I must say in a and not in defense of Trump, but I've gotten into this with super incredibly important people.
Yeah.
Who seem to have an infinite amount of time to haggle with, engage over, tussle over almost anything at almost any time. And I've had the thought a million times, like, aren't you supposed to be prepping for this or about to do that or doing this? I've had this with a lot of – there are guys with a motor, and that motor enables them to tangle with anyone at any time and keep going and spin 1,000 plates. I'm not trying to turn him into a working class hero. What I'm saying is this is a trade. This is a trademark of powerful guys.
They
seem to be able to have tons of time for everyone.
Well, Elon Musk was one of those people.
That's
it's like
example,
you're launching satellites into space and building cars are going to save the world, and maybe just I'm just more comfortable if he's not tweeting as much.
There's a Thai cave diver that might
exactly.
That.
Yes, it's counterintuitive because you go, you're doing so many things. How can you have time to settle this guy's hash? But the guy who would never do this would be my dad, who's on the sofa all day and has nothing but time.
But it's the same quality and skill that allowed them to be, you know, get to the height of whatever industry or whatever.
Well, it's true. And obviously Trump
same,
is
like applied in a
quality, like same motor.
Yeah.
No, it's obvious. And Trump is spending most of his time when he's not tweeting, reading books and trying to learn,
voraciously,
getting better. Yeah. And I know he's building a gazebo from scratch.
But it is funny. So these are actual tweets
yes
that go span from 2013
they span from 2013. He blocked me like 4 months later, and then sports. But he did respond, and there was a one time I sort of felt bad was on April 1st, a year after he had blocked me, and I put the date April 1st. I said, I miss us. And then he said, I miss you too. And like with, and it was like, oh, that's like, I felt really, I felt like Crank Anchors. I felt like I had just done a phony phone call. So,
that's a peek into the psyche.
I found that kind of sad. And your friend Jimmy was kind of helpful with this too, because he kept tweeting about China and like China, how they're killing us. And there were all these products he was currently making in China. And so Jimmy and Molly happened to be staying at the Trump Soho. mm-hmm. and they just went around the room and photographed the soap made in China, the shower cap made in China. Like, there was nothing not made in China.
I think famously Letterman pulled that on the tie.
I saw that
he was wearing.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on one sec. Let me tell you this half of the show brought to you by Quip. Go to Quip. Go to getquip.com/Adam. MedMen as well at medmen.com. Let them know I sent you in. Geico at geico.com. Quip, a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Sensitive sonic vibrations, gentle on the sensitive gums. You're not supposed to hang on to it. Use your, hold it like a flute. Or something. And I mean, don't double fist it, is what I'm saying. It has a built-in thank you. Gentle. If you ever hear that flute,
yeah.
and you see a guy take his shoes off, you're about to get an ass kicking. That's what I've learned from watching a lot of 70s TV.
You can run, but it's not going to help.
It's not going to help. It's good for gentle and sensitive gums. It's got a 2-minute timer.
Yeah.
So it lets you know how long to use it. And it pulses every 30 seconds, reminding you, like, switch sides or move it. Yes.
Wow.
Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. One of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. Thousands of verified 5-star reviews. Backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. And it starts at just $25. So go to getquip.com/Adam. Right now, get your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/Adam and try this revolutionary device out.
I got one for Christmas.
Ooh. Oh, good.
Yeah, I did. I mean, and look at my teeth. Everybody's talking about that.
You need sunglasses. Yeah.
I have a question for Danny. You're a professional writer, professional comedy writer.
Yes, thank
you've
you.
Come
you
up with and heard, I'm sure, some great zingers. In the spirit of fairness and credit where it's due, did Trump ever come back to you with a great zinger where you're like, man, I got to give it to him. That's pretty good.
Not once.
What?
No, and you would think just by, like, you know, that whole 100 monkeys typing in a room for 1,000 years would, like, be able to write
Hamlet.
But no, one monkey was not quite able to do it.
Someone would be around him maybe. And be like,
no, you would
say?
Think. The only thing he said that I liked and I talk about in the book, and I don't know if he meant it, but he's like, I just looked at your IMDb page, and he just went, so many flops. And so I named my blog So Many Flops. People who know me will always look at me and go, so many flops. So anytime a joke doesn't work, so many flops.
You know, the thing about being funny in that, like, short form, it's sort of like saying to a guy's 5'3", but, like,
yeah.
Once out of every 100 layups, you got to dunk one, right? Yeah. And it's like, no, that's not really not how it works.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you think, like, the odds are I would have, you know, I'm never going to complete a triathlon or even a mile run into it.
Even an athlon.
I think we can all agree to that.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I'm trying to help your points. Well, and actually, guys, I've been following your tweets since 2013, and we have a mutual friend, and so I've known Danny for a while, but when I first was told that we had a mutual friend, I was like, that Danny Zucker, the one from Twitter, the one about Trump? So, I mean, this has been lore going on for years.
Oh, that's very nice.
Time we're living in.
I know.
So, anyway, the book is available now, and you can get it at Amazon, and the proceeds are going to a good cause, so go out
and
do that. And Phil, the lab... Phil Dunphy is laying next to you.
Yes, he is the sweetest dog.
He's
so perfectly named, too.
He's got a good nature, and we're such fans of the show that my daughter named her dog after Phil Dunphy.
That is so awesome.
All right, let's take a quickie break, and then we shall come back, and we'll do the news with Danny.
Okay.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Great. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, actor Robert De Niro has become one of the latest recipients of a suspicious package, setting off a bomb scare at his New York address. Law enforcement says the package, which is similar to the pipe bombs mailed yesterday or the 2 days ago to top Democrats and CNN offices, was received at the building which houses the Oscar winner's Tribeca Grill restaurant. Police safely removed the package. De Niro, like other targets of the explosives, has been vocally critical of President Trump.
They do a Twitter thing where they just everyone he
gotta be careful.
Negative
guys. This has nothing to do with anything, but I brought a package that I just got from home, and I have to open it really.
Don't shake it. No.
Yeah, just put it in the toilet. Yep. Let it sit for a couple hours, and we'll have one of my lower guys, just go open
it
up.
Meanwhile, authorities confirmed that a suspicious package was also delivered to Joe Biden.
Boom.
In a postal facility. Yeah.
You know, I had a conversation once with a fella, and he said he got divorced, and he said, I got to pay like $50,000 a month and whatever. And he was a little depressed, and I said, well, you know, you've arrived.
Mm. Yeah.
And when you're getting pipe bombs sent to you.
Special care package.
It seems like a bummer.
Yeah.
But you have arrived.
That's true.
They don't just send it to the guy who works at the postal sorting place in Arleta. You have to be. You got to get to a level.
Danny Zucker isn't getting bumped.
No, I mean, Meryl Streep has so many Oscars, but Robert De Niro has all those Oscars and a bomb.
That's right.
I mean, so in a way, he wins, right?
He's better. He's won better.
Well, once the thing has been diffused, or maybe it was inert, I don't know, but I would put that on the shelf in between the Oscars. I actually would. You have arrived.
A reminder of your watermark.
And it also means you're getting out there and you're a burr in somebody's saddle.
Yeah.
You know?
Smart.
You're getting out there. Now, once in a while, there's a guy who screws up my theory that, like, the Unabomber, and he's still hitting college professors
but
that's a little more. He's a man.
It's a niche.
That's not this.
But there's celebrities in their field.
Yeah.
You know? I guess so.
So they're at the not just any college professor. They had to have accomplished.
So you've arrived.
Yeah. That's right.
That's what I want to say.
Well, here's a list of other people who've arrived who've also received these packages. George Soros, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, the whole building of CNN, former chairwoman of the DNC, Deborah Wasserman Schultz, Maxine Waters, Eric Holder, former CIA director John Brennan. And they're taking this very seriously, and they said they're treating every package as though it's a live bomb, and they're all being taken to Quantico.
Are they? It all happened at once, so it's got to be.
Booker's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. My chop liver over here. By the way, don't anyone go as me this year. What do we think? One guy, it has to be.
A network?
It can't be a coincidence it's all happening at once.
No, but I don't think so.
It's never a large group. It's got to be a guy and his.
It feels like a lone wolfy type of thing. Hey, if you're Eric Holder or Soros or De Niro even, you don't have to. I'm sure the Secret Service wants it to investigate it, the FBI. You're under no obligation to give it over. It was sent to you. It's your property.
I'm going to say
why wouldn't you want to?
Like the mantle thing between the Oscars? How cool is that?
I think he was being sarcastic.
Those are my Oscars. Out of the way.
Well,
I want to see that pipe.
No, I would.
No, that'd be
I would like it back, but I think it's a crime and it's evidence and they get it. And then
diffuse
at some
anyway.
Point, you can get it back.
Yeah.
I think you're obliged to give it to them.
Okay.
I don't know if it's your problem.
I'm going to challenge that.
Please.
We'll find out.
It's still tough. Well, look. Well, then go down to the Home Depot.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is get like a 1.5-inch galvanized 10-inch nipple, they would call it, threaded on both sides. Put a cap on either end of it. Do not fill it with anything but good vibes.
Goodbye, I love.
And then just hot glue a couple stickers to it and put the, you know, hot glue a couple wires to it and then just put it up on the mantle.
You'll know.
Wiser.
Yeah.
You'll know what it means.
Yeah.
Well, just one more piece.
Can I say this? I think we could get away from these pipe bombs if we as a nation could get away from the very antiquated galvanized plumbing, the stuff that was running through houses in the 20s and the 30s, and move on over to PEX. It's synthetic. Mm. It's easier to run. Mm-hmm. It's cheaper. It's faster. There's a whole bunch of new technology. I don't know what we're still messing with. The galvanized, you got to buy these nipples. They have all different lengths and barrel widths. And then you put the pipe caps on each one. Max, just find a picture. Type in 1-inch. Let's see. 6-inch.
Type in 1-inch nipple and see what comes up.
Type in how to build a pipe bomb.
1-inch Galvy nipple. Just type in Galvy nipple and pipe cap. They always make them out of the same thing.
Right.
If they did it out of, they couldn't really do it out of copper. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would work as well.
So this is a plumbing problem more than a terrorist problem.
Right.
That's
so
what I'm
just glad somebody has the courage to say this.
Blow up.
Finally.
Blow up,
Don't say blow up.
Enlarge. Enlarge.
Enlarge.
You know these pipes were PVC. That's true.
Oh, were they PVC?
Yeah. So, I mean, I love the rant, and I'm with you on this plumbing issue, which has not been talked about enough. But they were PVC. They were PVC.
Hold on. How do they do that?
I don't want to do this for a while.
This changes everything.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't even ABS.
No.
These are PVC?
Yeah, I know. Game changer.
Oh, I've never been... I've never had more egg on my face.
Phil Confetti.
What
Rip Torn was behind it. No, Rip Taylor. Who's the other Rip? The
Torn?
No, Rip Taylor.
With yeah, the Taylor with
said, who's the other Rip?
Yeah, the other Rip.
Wait
damn
a
it.
Minute. Who the hell uses PVC for a pipe bomb?
I know. It's the decline of the country, though. That emblematic of it.
Yeah.
You thought you knew pipe bombers.
Jesus Christ. And speaking of made in China, I bet that PVC was extruded in China. They're all PVC? What's going on, Dawson?
I heard on the news that they used PVC because they wanted to make sure that it didn't exceed any weight that wouldn't be carried by a mail carrier, so they didn't have to go to the post office.
Well, that was kind.
Not since the plastic gun.
I think they also used glass as shrapnel for the same reason.
Oh, my God.
Sad.
A quick question. Yeah. Phil seems to be...
Is he snoring?
No, he's not snoring.
Farting?
A little bit.
Oh.
Is that normal for
I guess so.
Gina, diabolical way to pass off your
Yeah,
thoughts.
No, I just didn't know if this was noticeable by anybody else.
Phil obviously had tuna for lunch.
I think it's just one of those things where like I live okay. with him, so Ooh. Blocked it
All right,
out.
No problem.
If you want him to move on.
No, he's too cute. He's fine. All right. Another little piece of Trump news. The New York Times reports that when Donald Trump makes a phone call to friends on one of his iPhones, there's a good chance that someone else is listening. According to former and current U.S. officials, reports show that Chinese spies are tapping into his calls on unsecured phones. Though he's been encouraged.
We did this to ourselves, people.
Yeah. He's been encouraged to use the secure landline from the White House, which I'm sure would be perfectly fine. Trump hasn't given up his iPhone, although he's been reportedly told that his mobile phones are not secure.
Can't tweet from that landline.
That's exactly right. Sure. That's true. Current and former staffers who are speaking out anonymously says they are not trying to embarrass the president, but they are concerned that Chinese and Russian agents are eavesdropping easily on Trump's phone calls and could gain access to classified information.
I think China knows everything. Yeah. And I think China's... They're not sexy to freak out over, but we should have a little more concern about China than we do. We're all caught up in Russia, but Russia doesn't pose the threat that China poses down the road. I think Russia's kind of almost third world, and China can not only, I think in a world where it's all about technology and all about economy and it's all about everything, China's the one to what keep an eye on. That's the one.
They're making the goddamn cell phones.
They're making everything, and they're ripping off everything, and they're the ones down the road that we were probably sleeping on a little too much. Yes?
Yeah.
There's you nodding your head? Why are you nodding your head?
I heard some conspiracy theory that China inserted a bunch of Chinese drivers into America to create more traffic so our economy goes down.
Chris, that's racist.
That's a horribly racist thing to say. Megyn Kelly called, and she's uncomfortable with that statement.
Wait a minute.
Chinese drivers?
Well, first off, there's a weird...
more effective ways to ruin our economy.
And hop onto the 405.
Yeah, but when you got a lot of bodies, you know, when that isn't a...
That's right. You look at your assets, like, what do we have a lot of?
Humans.
People.
Right. All right. Let's slow that traffic down. Now, a couple things. Aha. Uh-huh. Dianne Feinstein has a thing going on with a Chinese spy that was her driver. Mm. So this Chinese driver thing may be going on. She has a driver, had a driver for like 20 years who turned out to be possibly a Chinese spy or for whatever. So there is such a thing as a Chinese driver and there is such a thing as a Chinese spy driver, but you can check that out.
Chris, you can be racist Pata. And right.
And ever since... I remember watching, like, you know, whenever the History Channel would go, like, secret weapons of World War II or Hitler's lost army or something like that. I'm always
his mega gun.
His mega gun. Like, I'm in. I'm in.
I love that.
There's two things I'm in on. I'm in on giant creatures from the deep.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And any Hitler mega giant whatever
secret
thing. Something that, oh, if the war ended on Tuesday, if it had ended on Thursday, Hitler would have had this gun.
I love that stuff so much.
I love that stuff so much, too. And I was watching, you know, the secret weapons of World War II, and the Japanese had these incendiary bombs, and we didn't have technology. What they had was these, like, weather balloons. I've told you guys this before, yeah, but they floated them up into the jet stream. They bring them over to the Pacific Northwest.
I saw this.
Come down and start massive wildfires. Mm-hmm. And the whole Pacific Northwest would be on fire, and it would spread throughout the United States. Now, they didn't have a real formal, exact understanding, right, of how that worked, but their thought was, get them up in the jet stream, have them go over, have them come down over Portland, and we'll be so busy trying to put out our own country, mm-hmm, that they'll win the war. Now, you can kind of go, oh, that's stupid. I don't know, is it? Like, it seemed like a plan at the time. Yeah. And other countries, I mean, I'm sure we'll move ahead 50 years and look back on stuff and go, that was stupid. But they're trying, and some of the stuff seems weird, but I'll after watching enough of those shows,
it's plausible, I will believe it.
The Japanese actually did this.
They
launched it, and like I think this is like maybe even like a decade ago. Some mom was on a baseball field. It was like they said, "What's this? Like it's a little parachute," and like had her arm blown off or something.
Oh,
and it was from World War II, and it had floated over somewhere in the Pacific Northwest or Alaska. So they actually did this. It wasn't successful, except many years later,
injuring mothers,
injuring a soccer mom, but that was
I don't. I believe the story was not.
Am I wrong?
Well, there could be. Well, they did it multiple times,
yeah,
so we don't. I don't know, but the story when I watched it was that it landed. And in that sort of same era, there was like a Cub Scout group or something that went like camping or something, and somebody got blown up.
Oh, maybe that's right.
It had landed and not. It killed an innocent person or injured an innocent person, but I don't think it was that recently.
Dead mother, maybe.
But Max Spada, one more thing to look up. So we got Feinstein had a Chinese driver. Huh?
Yeah, that one is unproven, but it's believed that, she had a Chinese driver who would go back and deliver a lot of sensitive information to China, and he also was like a gopher in her San Francisco office, things like that. But
all right, Chinese driver theory, not too shabby.
Standing up.
And then what happened? What was the outcome of that Japanese Gulfstream bombs? I know some group, like Cub Scout group, or some group that was picnicking or something, like went
right
out
now
to go have a day out, and one of the kids was like, "What is this box over here?" and it blew up or something horrible. Yeah. All right. You can research that. Sorry.
That's good stuff. Well, Tom Arnold may or may not ever find out if Donald Trump used a racial slur on the set of The Apprentice, but it's a pretty sure thing that Apprentice producer Mark Burnett did not assault him. As you may recall, Arnold filed a police report last month alleging that Burnett had attacked him and attempted to choke him at an Emmy party.
Close to that children's story, The Brain That Cried Crazy. I wouldn't
read it before bed.
I like Tom Arnold, but I'm getting close to not believing many things that comes out of his mouth.
Danny must have known him back in the glory days.
Now, I got to Roseanne just when they split up.
Aww.
So they were like, it was my season and the split up had happened. And
was the vibe during that?
Oh, super.
Yeah.
She was super calm about
warm and welcoming.
Yeah, it was very
nurturing.
Nice. Yeah, didn't feel any ill will
any
toward
tension.
White men at all.
Oh, so I must have been an awesome salad days for you. And where was Brett Butler at this time?
Right, Brett Butler was just howling at the moon at that point. I don't know. So many flops.
It turns out that multiple witnesses back Burnett's version of the event, that Arnold came running toward him yelling and that he reached out simply to defend himself. So LA prosecutors have declined to pursue charges. Here's Arnold recounting the incident in sort of a Rashomon style.
In terms of believing accounts, this is like Charlie Sheen and Dick Cavett got into an altercation. Now, many people believe that Dick Cavett's side of it. I go, take me and include me in that group.
Malcolm Gladwell and your dog got into
that's right.
Now, let's take a comment from both.
All right. Let's listen to Tom.
And I see him kind of vibrating at the top, like doing this kind of sticking his chest out. I thought he may be being funny. And before I could get to the top of the stairs, the stairs are pretty steep, he just lunges out and just as a full-on, you know, not just a choke, but, you know, trying to choke me out like my... And I had got to the top of the stairs, and it knocked me back, and I thought I was going to fall down the stairs. And then he has this complete psycho, like he has lost it. I can see, hear his people go, bro, quit joking at Brian's, or whatever his name is, Margaret, quit joking. And then I got to the top of the stairs, finally, then we got square, and then I got him away, and then I protected myself, I just want to say, defended myself, and ripped off his gold chain with his fake cross and his pink shirt. But and then it was crazy, but he lost.
What are you talking about?
Fire balloons launched in 1945. 300 of the 9,300 made it.
Wow.
Damn. To the target.
Yeah, they were intended just to instill fear and terror. But then in May of 1945, a pregnant woman and four Sunday school children decided to play with them, and it exploded and lit them on fire, and they all died.
Jesus. Mm.
And that was in 45. So
yeah,
that
the
landed,
death.
It didn't blow up, and yeah, there you go. Sad, but true.
Mm-hmm.
Also kind of cool for the surviving members of the family, you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
no.
you know, how'd your dad die? How'd your mom die? Heart disease, stress,
claims
it's a bummer.
A
probably boring for the friends, though.
Box,
oh, God, they're going to tell that story again.
Here we go.
Oh, like, we can't have them over. yes, we get it.
It's crazy, too, because also the way war works is, at 45, I don't know, was it, were we, let's see.
The war had been over for...
No.
It ended in 45.
Yeah, sorry,
yeah. Yeah, but we don't know, I don't know if it technically was, we'd lit off the nukes by then, or if it was before or after. I don't know why, but it still makes it bizarre that if a war ends and then you're taking your Sunday school troop out.
Yeah.
And that'll make you an atheist. Yeah. All right.
Several Japanese civilians have visited the monument that was made for them to offer their apologies and deaths that took place. And several cherry trees have been planted around the monument by the Japanese civilians, a symbol
for
peace.
Good people. You know, they clean up their soccer stadiums. Yeah. They go to their monuments that are on other soils. They're respectful people.
Japan surrendered in 1945.
Yeah.
Yeah.
August.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Just checking.
Okay. But I'm just curious when this happened, Max Pata, if you have a date.
May 5th, 1945.
So it was still on.
That's right.
Hey, those Sunday school kids will grow up to be soldiers one day.
That's right.
Or 3 months. All right, let me tell you about MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers are everywhere and everyone. Let's drop the labels at MedMen. You're an executive, a parent, a customer. There's something for everyone, whether you're new to the cannabis or you're familiar with it, like flower, lotion, edibles, vape pens, bath bombs, and more. Touchscreens allow you to view in-depth product info and red-shirted staff that's incredibly knowledgeable and puts you at ease. You can check out one of their 14 retail locations in L.A., Orange County, San Diego, and now, new store open on the Las Vegas Strip on Paradise and Harmon, right there on the Las Vegas Strip. So you can visit MedMen.com, find the store nearest you, or check out their new one on the Las Vegas Strip. Right, Dawson?
And for our listeners, visit any MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Keep out of reach with children for use only by adults 21 years of age and older. Check out MedMen today.
All right. How's Phil and his farting doing?
I think he's subsided.
Nice.
But he was doing a little sleep running, which is freaking adorable.
I don't know why, but he was sleeping by my desk the other day, having a little dream, making a couple of noises. Why is that so delightful to us?
God, it's great.
So it's just, what's going on in there? What could they possibly be dreaming? I grew up with a Great Dane, and he would sleep at the foot of my bed, and it was an earthquake. Because when he kicked the bed at the base of the bed, it was just like, wait, like, wake up, Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so pure. It's just so innocent.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dog barks in his sleep, and we call it murfing. He's like, murf, murf. That's amazing.
I know. It's that there's so we're so delighted by this thing that We shouldn't be surprised or delighted by, but we're so delighted by it.
Yeah, and if a human does it next to you, you're like, oh, Jesus, shut up, stop. Right, but yeah, with an animal, it's just the best.
Right.
Well, we're talking about Megyn Kelly's salary. The Big Bang Theory dominated Forbes' list of the highest-paid TV actors this year.
Oh.
Four of the top five actors came from the CBS hit, with Jim Parsons leading the pack. Any guesses on what Forbes is reporting him at?
So we doing per episode? Is that our pile?
I don't think so. I don't think this is per episode. No, this can't be per episode.
Okay. Well, Max Pata.
I'm going to show Danny.
I want to make a guess too.
Okay,
though.
Right.
I feel like
you have inside information.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to show you.
I want to see if I was right.
We need. Gina, if we're going to do this in the future,
about right?
Get the.
Sorry, you're right.
The lump.
Yeah.
But no. Once you get the lump. Just get the amount of episodes. They doing 12, okay. Or they doing what was an order for them? Are they doing 20?
I think they do 24.
24. So yeah, we can divide it.
Divide it up.
I think
by
they,
that.
Yeah.
All right.
So you want to guess per or lump?
Well, I'll do the lump based on the 24. So you got to figure. It's weird because sitcoms aren't what they were, but for these guys, it's what they. What it is, or what it were back in the day.
What it were, my brother.
And so I'm going to say it's got to be at least a million, which make it 24.
Okay.
Right? It's all for the leads?
Yeah.
Even the girl.
Come on, don't be ridiculous.
Whatever. Is 70% of whatever.
What?
It's annual pay.
Per year.
Per year.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
So.
All right, but that's a season.
Yeah.
And we'll go 24 season. And I'll go... Can it be 2 million an episode? That would make it 48. That's a lot. I'm going to go with a 1.5 and make it more in the 30 range. I'll go 30 million each.
I'm going to go with too much. Whatever it is, it'll be too much.
Smart.
I don't have any fucking idea about $2 million. Who cares?
Brian thinks it's unearned. You're close, Adam. The whole payoff total, 26.5 million. So what, one?
So they're getting
two,
like
one
three
one?
Yeah. Or something.
Yeah, I was going for 24 million. That's what I thought.
A million an episode.
That's what I thought I had heard. But
and that's sort of the average up at the top five. Johnny Galecki, 25 million. A tie between Simon Helberg and Kunal Nair, 23.5 million.
Losers.
Then Mark Harmon. Brings up the rare number five, NCIS, 19 million. Happy to announce that 6 through 9 are all to the wonderful actors on Modern Family.
Wow.
Yeah, Ed O'Neill, Eric Stone Street, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Ty Burrell, all between 12 and 19 million.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 12 and 14 million.
Working class people right there, I mean, compared to the Big Bangers.
Outside of Danny, it's your industry. Has anyone in this room seen a second of Big Bang Theory?
I've not seen it.
Seconds.
Okay.
The reason I've seen seconds of it is any show that
accidentally. I mean, like you left the game on, you know, from the night before, and you turn on, like, what the hell is this?
Well, I think this syndicated version will come on after TMZ.
Oh, there it is.
And I'll see the first 18 seconds of it via the end of TMZ. Mm-hmm. I'm not a loser. I'm not going to watch Big Bang Theory.
No, absolutely.
You're there for news.
for the article.
Hard news. I get it.
You know, they do hire like MIT graduates and stuff to write on the staff.
I'm sure.
There's really smart dudes.
It's a well-executed show, but it's no Modern Family.
It's not for you.
That's fine.
Well, Ice-T was arrested Wednesday for toll evasion in New Jersey. According to TMZ, the star was heading over to the George Washington Bridge in New York when he tried crossing the Easy Pass lane for drivers who prepay their tolls with a transmitter, but his didn't work, apparently. He was pulled over, and when the police discovered his McLaren sports car wasn't registered, they arrested him for evading the toll and gave him a ticket for the unregistered vehicle. Ice-T tells TMZ that he was released by police and headed over to Law & Order SVU, where he plays an officer.
Which McLaren is he driving? That's the big question.
He's got to be paid a lot, right? Because that show's been on for a long time.
He's been on forever.
Yeah.
I have an Easy Pass. If it doesn't work, am I getting arrested?
Yes, you are.
Oh my God. That seems it said specifically they arrested him for evading the toll and gave him a ticket for the unregistered vehicle.
No shit.
Right.
No.
But they wanted to arrest him because he's driving a McLaren 720. Is that, what is that thing? That thing 300 to 400?
It's pretty.
Yeah. I feel like the cops, I think we're living in a time where the cops either recognize you and let you go or recognize you and want to arrest you so they can be a part
yeah.
of it.
If you have a song in your history called Cop Killer, it probably might hook up one way or the
Better
other.
Better you than me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how they got Pat Boone on that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Controversial.
Yeah. What's the thing? It's 288, 88, yeah, with tax.
Yeah.
Get out the door about 300.
You can talk him down to, you know, 265.
But burns gas. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, that's you're going to pay a lot.
Yeah.
Fuel. Got to focus on that.
So I like that he has a McLaren as an everyday driver. And
this is his tool around car.
That's where he keeps his easy pass on the dash.
Well, when you're a celebrity, you often don't want to be noticed.
Yeah.
So I think that's like a very important thing. You know, you want to go under the radar.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I did see when we went to Miami, I think me and Jimmy and Kevin and Bean a million years ago, I think for a Super Bowl. The Super Bowl must have been in Miami in like 1998 or 7 or something, 99. I'm trying to think, but we were there. And at a certain point, what's his name? Mama said, knock you out.
LL. Ladies love Cool James.
LL pulled up next to us in a Bentley convertible with the top down and the music up to 13 and the subwoofer just pumping.
Was it
his music?
Oh, James, I wanted so bad to go. I'm going back to Cali.
Yeah.
Mama said, look at me. Like, you couldn't avoid it. First, your ears started pulsing. Then you'd like, look, and it's a convertible Bentley.
Nice.
And then it's like LL. And it's... I feel the same way when I was driving through Pasadena. Here's what I'm sort of curious about. You guys tell me. My sleep deprivation. Let's see. I'm trying to Sharon Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon Stone. I was driving through Pasadena once, and I pulled up at a light, and there's Sharon Stone. She's in an Aston Martin DB7 convertible, top down. Sharon Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Could not miss the blonde hair and all the Sharon trappings. Stone trappings. And then I thought, don't you get followed home a lot by like weirdos? And
good
then
point.
If you're Sharon Stone's husband, aren't you kind of like, sweetie, look, with the convertible, I mean, let's get a limo tint and put you in a coupe and not have to deal with this at the
good
height
point.
Of this and all the weirdos. And they now they know where you live.
It's almost like she wanted the attention.
Right. And I'm just saying... I guess if you're LL or SS, there you go. Unfortunately, lettered SS.
So many flops.
Or SF. You want it, but why do you want it? And then where's the your better half going, hey, man?
Not a great idea.
I don't want to deal with another van parked out front of the house.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Although, and I feel like... her husband at the time could have weighed in because that's the guy who for his birthday.
Oh, this is my favorite story.
She got a trip, a private tour of like the Los Angeles Zoo, and he got his toes bitten off by a Komodo dragon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a Komodo dragon, a giant Komodo dragon.
I thought it was a mouse.
And hugely, their mouths are filled with germs. And so also, apart from like losing his toes, he had like this massive infection, was in the hospital forever.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Here's your sepsis.
Yeah. It's also such a weird thing, which is like, the day probably started off so good, you know?
Yeah.
He probably had a churro in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like,
lemonade.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been here and didn't have to wait in line around the polar bear exhibit. Like, it's always been such a flow of humanity. But we got the place to ourselves. I'm going to go. I'm going to go over to the hut over there and get a cold one. You know, they serve beer now. And
or hurry up because we got the Komodo Dragon exhibit in 10 minutes.
I'm going to sit down on this bench that was donated by the Johnson family, Emily and Vince Johnson, with the dates of their demise on it. I'm just going to rest my feet. I'm going to rest my tootsies on this bench over here.
My new white pair of socks.
And thank God it just got done spraying everything down with Tenactin. So what could go wrong? You know what I mean? I've cured my athlete's foot after all these years and all the therapy and all the
nail fungus pills.
All the expensive pills and sprays. Finally, I'm on my feet. I'm wearing the loafers my grandfather stitched by hand on the way.
In the old country.
On the old country when he came over here and on the boat. What could go wrong? I got a brand new pair of silk monogram socks on. Silk. And I am ready to go. Yeah. And
top of the world.
To the dragon.
Reservations tonight at Mastros. I can already taste that steak. Right. Yes.
Strong start.
These little pickies.
That's right. What was that story, Chris? It was a Komodo dragon.
That's exactly what it was, yeah. I think he was wearing a sock and the thing thought it was a mouse.
God.
You got it right.
They interviewed him.
Same color, same size.
What was he doing? Like he's wearing his socks. Find that story.
Why would Sharon?
Kaylin got it.
Why would Sharon Stone let her husband go out in sandals with socks?
Yeah, the zookeeper asked him to remove his white shoes in case they were mistaken for rats. But I guess
mice instead
still attacked him.
The furry white things were better.
So he's maybe wearing shoes that could be mistaken for rats.
They don't know a lot about this animal at the zoo. They're learning a lot.
They haven't studied extensively.
Yeah, they it's very mysterious.
And then he walked around amongst them, and then they bit his toes off, yeah? Okay.
That's nightmare fuel.
I don't know. I feel like that's kind of on the zookeeper.
Yeah.
That's pretty erratic stuff.
You're the expert.
Yeah. Okay. Well, was he married? Did Sharon Stone arrange that trip to the zoo, Max Zapata?
I'm looking that up.
Or is she too busy doing hot laps around Old Town Pasadena in her convertible DB7? All right. I'll tell you about the Castrol Edge. That's what. If you got a DB7, put some Castrol Edge in that crankcase. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance of up to 10%. Castrol Edge. Engineered with fluid titanium technology. Physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It's Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine. All right, one more, Gina Grant.
All right, well.
Max Pat, if you find out anything about
it. It was a Father's Day surprise.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah, so Sharon saw it all happen from outside the cage. They were on a private tour. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know if she was the one who planned it herself, but she was definitely there.
Was his toes lost?
Let's see. They reattached severed tendons to rebuild his big toe that was crushed by the dragon's jaws.
Mm. I think he was a newspaper editor or something. It's a gig you can do sitting down.
Yeah.
You know.
In traction.
You have to run
He's
in place.
He's not a beat reporter anymore.
Right.
Well, in one of the otter lawsuits we've heard about lately, a woman is suing Billy Idol for inviting her to a backstage meet and greet in Vegas and then skipping out on her.
Now, when did he get divorced from Sharon Stone? Because I bet if you said, what's the guy's name, Phil or something like that? Speaking of Phil, so he's got a name.
Yeah, Phil Bronstein.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. All right.
Good grab.
It's a Phil. It's a Phil. Yeah, it's a day filled with Phils. I bet if you said to him, give me the 10 worst memories about the time you're married to Sharon Stone, that the Komodo dragon wouldn't crack that top 10.
No, I believe that very much.
There's a time I screwed up an omelet and she attacked me with a spatula. Like, okay.
With the cast iron skillet.
There's that. I don't know if you'd get to the dragon part.
Biting your foot off. Yeah.
It's pretty low.
It'd probably make the top 50, but I don't know if it'd make the top 10 if I was married to Sharon Stone. Yes. Sorry. Where were we?
Well, TMZ cites court documents and reporting Juliana.
Divorced in 2004. The attack took place in 2001.
There it is. Never covered. Mm-hmm.
Juliana Bergs claimed that back in 2016, Billy asked her to a meet and greet and concert and spoke of taking her back to the hotel after it was over. She says that because she expected she'd be staying with him, she didn't bring any money and couldn't afford a room of her own. She now wants Idol to pay her travel expenses, reimburse her for the concert tickets, and pay her for extreme emotional distress. Idol's reps tell TMZ that his attorneys are handling the matter and that the accusations are without merit. I didn't know groupies could sue if the front man didn't bang them.
I'd say it's a new world order we're living in. Well, Garagos is in the hall.
Oh.
He's probably on the phone. He's probably in the car.
He's in the car.
He's off with Billy Idol.
Yeah.
But he's here. So I'll write that down and ask him what he thinks about this question. All right. Did we bring it home?
We'll bring it home. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
So many flops.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Phil the dog is gone.
He's
somewhere.
Behind Danny.
He's making me nervous.
He's right behind me.
Let me tell you about
the street.
Geico.
We'll be right back.
Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance at Geico. Geico.com. Just go to Geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money and put it in your pocket. It'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day at Geico. Geico.com. All right. I told you about Phoenix. That'll be tomorrow night up on stage. Basic cable commentary, stand-up live. Anaheim, The Grove, will be doing a live pod there November 30th with Rob Riggle. Go to Corolla Drinks, and there's an event coming up, Costume Karaoke.
Tomorrow.
That'll be tomorrow. The Other Room at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, hosted by my wife and AJ Benza. And Brandon Gooch Ham will be there, local radio legend as well. CorollaDrinks.com. Find out all about it. There's money to be made. There's merriment to be had. You don't want to miss out on merriment. And, of course, the Fantasy BS podcast. That's Bald Brian. And my son's doing that one as well.
So many flops.
Having a good time over there.
My favorite drama.
He started it. My Twitter war with Trump, available now on Amazon. And it's all going to a worthy cause. World Wildlife Fund and Planned Parenthood as well. Yeah. Bookmark us and click on through. Danny Zucker, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And until next time, Adam Carolla for Larry Miller and Danny Zucker and Gina Grad and Bald Brian, say it. Mahalo.
Ah, not that button.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Fantasy BS, hosted by Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla on Podcast One. Anaheim, Grove of Anaheim, ACS Live Podcast with guest Rob Riggle is November 30th. Get your tickets now and more info at adamcarolla.com.